We don't know if you're here. Are you here?
No, we literally can't tell if you're here.
Oh, there's 13 people here.
Oh, my God.
It told me.
That's more than I thought would be here.
Me too. I'm impressed. Great job, you all.
All right, everyone. Good job. Hi, queens. And maybe a man. I don't know.
Okay. Welcome to the frickin' party. This is giving me like Twitch vibes.
I know. This is like your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is my wheelhouse. Gorgeous. I think it's also giving me like COVID teaching vibes where no one has their camera on. And I'm like, perfect.
Love it.
Welcome.
Me alone. Performing.
So today we want to talk about basically just like when there's drama at schools. Because I feel like this is going to come across as internalized misogyny. But if you're a teacher, you know. The education field is very petty, and there's lots of arguments and there's lots of stupidness, and every field is petty in its own way. But I've noticed the education field has like a high school girl type of drama, also probably because I teach high school, and I feel like a lot of the drama between teachers, I kind of want to like hold both of their hands and be like, let's grow up, ladies, like we are not in competition. And like, I don't mean that as like internalized misogyny. I just mean like, when you're in that environment with high school drama, I think it does rub off on you.
I could see that totally happening. I mean, you get swept away. And there is so many avenues where teachers have the drama.
Some of these chats are really good. I'm going to read some of these to you since the chat is kind of my wheelhouse. My principal once called an emergency all-staff meeting just to clarify that he wasn't having an affair with any of the teachers. None of us had even heard the rumor. That's incredible. And he definitely was. Like, he got on stage and was like, all right, you guys, it definitely is not happening.
Oh, like, my God.
Has anyone projected that hard? I've seen my entire life. They started calling the high school I worked at the Love Shack because so many teachers were getting together and some were married and had kids with other people.
No, not the Love Shack.
The Love Shack is crazy.
The Love Shack high. Degrassi could never.
Someone make a daytime soap opera about this. Like, I know. The worst television writing ever with that as the plot.
I'm sick. Oh, my gosh.
A lot of people are saying the same thing, that their schools are very affair heavy. OMG, I was in an elementary school where the male coach and female first grade teacher were divorced and he was dating the much younger fourth grade teacher.
Oh, no.
And then he went on to marry the new one. So I guess like when they got hired, he was married. They got divorced. He dated another teacher and then married her.
What? I'm sorry. That's too many. Switcheroo.
How did no one quit? You patrons are coming in with the fire. Y'all have been holding out on us. Okay. There's a bunch more. All the affairs happened before I got to my school, and now we have products of the affairs as students.
No. Oh
my God. Immediately no.
Wait, I found one.
You want to read?
Yeah, I want to read one. This is fun.
Read.
It says,
it's fun, right?
You know, I like it. I'm going to stream too. No, I'm not. It says, we had a creep at my school who had offered multiple times to rub teachers' feet. He didn't care if you were dating someone, married, or even pregnant. The last straw was when he told a new teacher who was pregnant that her toes were, quote, lickable. He wasn't a teacher, but he gave such a bad rep for our classified staff. No one ever took him up on it. Well, that you know of. Just kidding. But it took multiple inappropriate comments and years for him to finally get fired. That should not take years.
Insane.
I should have been like,
oh my God. That is insane.
I'm like sweating.
Oh, this person has a good point. I feel like the affairs have to be more common than any of us really think, only because our workplace environment is surrounded with kids, unlike with regular corporate jobs where you're around adults. So it makes sense that this sort of workplace drama would be heavy and strong because our opportunities to talk to other adults is minimal. Would love to see statistics on this, because now I'm thinking about, so like when I was in corporate, I always like had my mask up. Like I was always like, I am at work, we are working. And at school, I have that up in front of kids, but then when I see another adult, I let it down and I'm like, bitch. So I feel like that might be what it is that we form like bonds with each other very quickly because we have this like on stage, off stage thing, kind of the same way in restaurants, the same thing happens because you have like, you're on stage with each other in front of the customers. And my old job, literally, they would say you're on or off stage. You're on stage in front of the customers. And then when you're in the back, you're off stage. So you feel like you can really be yourself around these people. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like an intimacy thing almost.
Yeah.
Like a platonic intimacy.
Yeah, like an emotional friendship intimacy level with these people.
I'm going to take a note to go back to this one after we're done talking about affairs. There's so much good shit in the chat.
No, there really is. This is going 10 times better than I expected. I expected it to be good, and it's really incredible.
I know, I want to do this every time. I'm never doing this alone again. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, that's not true. My Wi-Fi can't handle this.
You just have to rent a hotel every time.
Yeah, every time.
You're like, coming to you live from the Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyways, okay. Do you see any other ones that you want to highlight before we...
On a deeper level, most of the drama...
That was the one I wanted to read.
No, read it. Read it. You go.
Well, you can read. Okay, I just meant the one I wanted to talk about. Because this one is crazy. But this is so real. This happened on TikTok to me. Okay. On a deeper level, most of the drama at my elementary school is because of the divide between teachers using the science of reading and teachers stuck on guided reading / balanced literacy. We had a new curriculum this year that was science of reading aligned, and it created such divides on team levels that adults won't even speak to each other. This is why when we had Naomi O'Brien on this podcast, I said... I am like low-key afraid to talk about this because I, in 2020, posted about sight words because I don't, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I was a naive teacher and I still was doing sight words at my school. And I was like, oh my God, this is a great little thing to share about sight words. I got eaten the fuck alive by science of reading. People were like attacking me on such a personal level that I was like, oh my God. God.
They like wanted you to be living under a bridge. They like were like, we will not rest until this woman has been shunned from society.
Granted,
she has to tell riddles.
Granted, I did also use science of reading at that school. I don't know, it was like one of those things where they like had us doing phonics and science of reading, you know, as one should, to make literate children, but also sight words. I think it was like to appease the powers that be that don't understand.
I think they were like, if we cast a wide net, yeah, they'll learn. One of these things will stick. They're, yeah, like, there's a lot of disagreement, so yeah, let's just see what sticks.
So they made sure I learned.
When she came on the podcast, that was one of my favorite episodes, and I have quite literally not shut the fuck up since we recorded that. To the most random of people, I can tell you there's probably been at least a dozen times that like a waitress, someone's like mom at a party, like the most random people, that they have made a comment about kids not knowing how to read. And I'm like, let me tell you why. And I tell them, mm-hmm, all about it. And I'm literally like, if you were my waitress at Chili's, you're welcome, because I blew your mind when I saw it in your face. And they were like, oh my God, I have to go on YouTube to get my son to be able to read. And I was like, you do.
Oh, people at VidCon here are sick of me. I have talked about curriculum. I have talked about school districts. I went into redlining. Like, people don't care.
At
they're
VidCon,
like, I'm here to have a drink.
They're having
and a good
like
time,
a panel bro. About the bold yeah. glamour filter, and you're like, for justice.
It's so bad. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, but no, people are so like. Especially teachers that have been not teaching phonics for so long, not teaching science of reading for so long, they don't understand the like benefits and the like research behind it. And it almost feels like they think that you're insulting their intelligence, that you're like,
yeah,
attacking a part of them. Yeah. And it is really scary. And it's always a little scary when you switch up curriculums after a while because people get really emotionally attached and invested to what they've been teaching since 1997. But, man, I know. I wish that people talked about, somebody in the chat said, I wish people were telling me, hey, this child is illiterate. I know, because that is such a scary word. But, like,
yeah,
we really do need to be calling it what it is, unfortunately.
That's exactly what it is. So we should probably call it that, even though it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
I don't think the divide is nearly as intense at the high school level, but I've noticed this, especially since I started teaching the AP class. This is like a whole new universe I am in with the AP world that has like a lot of passion and feelings. And there's this huge divide there about lecturing and if you should be teaching with lecture or not. And I haven't heard of like people refusing to speak to each other over it, but I have seen some very heated debates. I am in the middle. I also am in a very good position where my class is 90 minutes long. So I don't have to make a choice between lecturing and not lecturing. I have time to lecture and also do hands-on things with them. But I think it's like a similar vein of like, One has a lot of data behind it and the other one doesn't.
Right.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry to the pro lecture people. I do lecture, just so everyone knows, but the data does not support it.
No, and I know that like as a student, I don't do well with lecture. I'm not going to show up. Unfortunately, I was a class skipper. I didn't give a shit how expensive the classes were in college. I was there to have a good time and look cute and go curl my hair in the locker room. I was literally never in class. Like, it was a running joke. If it was a lecture class, I was not coming. But classes that actually engaged me, I was always there, and I wanted to be there because I felt like I was, like, learning shit. And I still yap about my fucking European theater class. I have so many tidbits I can teach you because I actually was forced to, like, engage and do shit.
I love a lecture if... I don't know how to say this respectfully, so I'm going to say it disrespectfully. As a student, I love lecture when someone is a good lecturer and it's about a topic I'm interested in. I hate lecture if it's like physics or math, but for things that are more like, because I majored in sociology, I love that type of lecture because I think it's a good conversation. And I... Again, don't know how to say this respectfully, so here we go. Sometimes when
among friends.
Like people on the lecture community, no offense, but it's a lot of times like a older and generally male crowd, and I hate being lumped in with them because I'm like, no, when I do it, it's hilarious and engaging. So like we can't compare. Like, I'm very funny and fabulous and like really just bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the lecture that I don't think you are, because they'll be like, my students hate lecture, and I'm like, some of mine kind of like it. I just don't think you're serving hard enough. So when I see data about lecture, I'm like, I'm built different, so I don't think that applies to me. That being said, I do all my lectures with Nearpod, so there is an element of engagement to it. Because when I do think about some of these people just talking at children for 50 minutes straight, I do feel heated about it. So I understand why it leads to drama in the AP teacher community. Oh my God. Speaking of, do you want me to tell you, we can include this in the podcast, I really don't care, what I found on Facebook today?
Please.
And you can keep all the lecture stuff in the podcast too. So like I said, the AP teacher community is a lot, and there is a lot of Facebook groups. And just so you all know, I'm putting my life on the line. I could be kicked out of these groups, but this is so fucking hilarious. You all need to hear about it. So I'm including it, and I'm hoping that no one in these groups makes the connection here.
Be cool, guys.
So this guy posted a picture of his arm getting tattooed that says "A push forever." Yeah. And said, "When you lose a bet with your students, ha ha ha, not really. I got this on my own."
Okay.
And I was like, okay, for sure. And yeah. Then I opened the comments because I thought the comments, and okay, for context, the tattoo is like the money font. Like, you know, like on dollar bills, like that's the font of the tattoo that says "A push forever."
I see it.
And it's written horizontally across his like forearm.
Do you have it?
Here. Yeah, I'll zoom in so you can see it.
Okay.
And like not see his name.
Oh, there it is. Oh my. Oh, Jiminy. Oh, Lord.
So okay. I see that. Okay. I sprint to the comments. Sprint. Because I'm like, I need to see
as
what people are saying about this. So much better than I could have possibly imagined. So... For context, a couple weeks ago was the conference where as an AP teacher, you can apply and you go grade the exams and you get paid by the day. And so like tons of people do it because it also makes you a better teacher to see the grading process. I kind of wanted to go, but it would just seemed like there were adults sharing hotel rooms. I just couldn't really get into that in the headspace I'm in right now. Maybe next year. So anyway, I guess something happened with this guy at that conference, because this one comment says, dude, didn't you get kicked out of this year's reading for being on your phone too much and taking pics of stuff you're not supposed to? What kind of example does that set for your students? Why aren't you using your real name on Facebook? I'm like, kind of. They used multiple real names in it, so I kind of like summarized that comment. And then more comments. And all of these comments are getting a lot of likes. There were not many comments,
but the
comments there were getting a lot of likes. No, right. I was like, what did I miss, you guys? So for starters, you were initially on an unreleased exam. You're not supposed to share anything with anyone on that, because some questions they release to the public and some they don't. So I guess if you're at the grading, there's like different rules depending on which section you're grading, which I guess makes sense. But so they said you're not supposed to share anything with anyone on that. But when you got switched to my group, you continued posting and playing on your phone. You caused a ton of extra work because everything you had scored had to be re-reviewed. Next time you shouldn't be there.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
The passion.
That's what inspired me for this topic of this episode. Yes, this is Real Housewives of A-Push, except it's Real House Men of A-Push. Everyone involved in this thread is a man. A-Push is very male dominated.
Wow. That is crazy.
Right?
I'm like speechless.
Right? Yeah. You see why I texted you? And I was like, I have a topic for us.
Yeah. Holy hell. Somebody said they want the dollar bill thing at the tramp stamp.
Oh my God. So this is so irrelevant. Again, another pro for the patrons being here. When I worked at this restaurant, this fucking dumbass manager we had ordered like stamps with the restaurant logo, like the big like stamps, and he was like, oh, we can put them on like signs, like if we can put them on envelopes to mail things to people. I don't fucking know why he bought this. So we all started using it to give ourselves tramp stamps, because the stamp was 4 inches across. Like it was a very, it was like four inches across and 1 inch tall that just had the name of the restaurant. And so we all started using it at tramp stamps. And he got so mad. He was like, stop it! Stop it! And we were doing it in the back of the kitchen. Like, we had, like, a break room behind the kitchen. Like, it was, like, an L shape. And, like, half was the kitchen. And then half was, like, the office and break room. And he was like, this is unsanitary. And he kept yelling, put your clothes back on. But none of us had taken our clothes off. We had all just, like, lifted our shirts. No one had taken anything off.
Sir, calm down. Oh, my God. I'm, like, dying. My tummy hurts from laughing at that. Jesus. Okay. Okay, we should pivot. Wait, should we pivot?
Do you want to see if you got any submissions on Instagram?
I got a few. Have you gone through yours? I haven't at all.
I have not. Let me look.
So we asked you, more specifically Redacted asked you, for submissions about drama.
I want to know the tea at your school.
Yeah. Oh, and I have to do this. Hang on. We didn't say, welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk, you guys.
Oh, right. Because we were live, so we were in a different headspace.
We were excited.
As parents and teachers, we all want to set our children up for success. Maybe your child is struggling with a specific subject, or your students needed a little extra help with homework, or maybe they're asking questions that you're just not sure how to answer. And, you know, if your child is ahead and not getting challenged enough in class, IXL can be the perfect tool for them too. Yes, IXL. You know her. You love her. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language, arts, science, and social studies. And it's designed to help students understand and master topics in a fun, engaging way. And it offers positive feedback along the way. As a teacher, I saw firsthand how IXL can make a difference. Whether a student is struggling with a specific topic or trying to keep up with their class or even aiming to get ahead. And for a lot of parents, one of the most helpful features is the tailored approach IXL takes with every single child. IXL is powered by advanced algorithms that give the right kind of help no matter the student's age or personality. And with just one subscription, you get access to everything. So it's perfect for a household with kids from pre-K to 12th grade. It saves time and money, And a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So it's always worth a shot. Studies have shown that kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. And IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the United States. So 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already learning with IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off of IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Teacher Quit Talk. Are you ready to get petty? Let's yell at people.
You always come in with the quips. And we are live today. We're live streaming to our patrons.
We are. So we're talking in the chat. And if you're like, I wish I could chat with them, you can. We'll be doing this on a semi-regular basis. So check out our Patreon.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, I got a decent amount.
Okay, good. I got like 5.
I think I'm good at like the quips because I've seen so many Real Housewives reunions. And like every commercial break, Andy Cohen is like, you got divorced, but you were slaying and single. Like, I think, like, I just have, like, a little, like, Andy Cohen chat GPT in my brain. Good. That can just, like, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Can we build that? Can we build that GPT?
We should. Like, oh, a God. Chat GPT that only is Andy Cohen.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm ready.
I have one.
Amazing.
Okay, but how to pick just one? Oh, Lord. The majority of teachers at my school pink slip their kids into our school, and we currently have a cohort of 7 staff kids incoming 4th grade. So I guess pink slip is something in their district where you can fill out a form. It has a different name where I am.
I wasn't paying attention. Pink slip is when we get moved to a different school.
So what I think it is, my district, I don't know what it's called, but like if I had a child, I could write to the district and be like, my kid should go to the school that I teach at because that'll be easier for me, not the school by our house.
Oh, like a transfer?
Like your kid can get like a location exemption and not have to go to their zoned school so that they can be like with you.
I'm trying to do that with Jay.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's what they're saying. A majority of teachers at my school pink slip their kids into our school. So we currently have a cohort of 7 staff kids in the incoming 4th grade. It gets awkward because they all request the same teacher and it makes our class dynamics super inequitable. Our principal finally put her foot down and said they all can't request the same teacher, and the parents nearly rioted.
Yeah.
I would love to see that meeting. But it is now even more awkward, and I'm not sure I'll explain it well, but I'm going to try. Because one teacher's daughter allegedly has a crush on another teacher's son. So the teacher with the son put in a request that those two kids be separated. So now the teacher of the daughter is mad.
Oh, that is very dramatic.
That's very Romeo and Juliet.
It is. You're just making it so much worse.
You really are. Now it's like a forbidden love. They're going to get married and it's all your fault.
Yes. Or like have a horrible toxic... Start saving for therapy. Yours or theirs.
Everyone's.
Everyone's. Why not? Wait, I have a scandalous question to ask you.
Oh, okay.
And the chat. Okay. What... And there's no wrong answer. I am not in this world. But I, in 2020, would see a lot of videos about teachers who are in high school or middle school who seat kids next to each other that they know have crushes on each other.
Mm.
And, like, in the elementary school world, to me, I'm like, I would never, ever do that. Like, I'm not there to play matchmaker. Like, I find that weird. But I also don't have the context of, like, being with big kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I have a lot of feelings about that. I think that that is really fucking weird.
Okay.
I am definitely a matchmaker of friendship. I try and be very intentional around, like, okay, these are 2 shy kids. Mm-hmm. I think they might end up getting along. Like, I definitely arrange based on personality, mm-hmm. but not romantic interest. I will allow couples to sit together sometimes. Mm-hmm. If I feel like they are a couple that encourages each other mm-hmm. and is generally positive for each mm-hmm. other, I do put them together
uh-huh.
because I think if y'all are apart, you're going to be distracted because your boyfriend's all the way over there. Mm-hmm. And if y'all are both academically driven, y'all being together is not a problem to me.
Yeah.
So I do usually seat couples together until it's a problem and then I'll separate them. But only if, like, they're already a couple.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I do really matchmake with friendship. And especially, like, sometimes if there's a lot of times with girls, like a lot of times if there's a girl who's like really focused on boys, I'll be like, I'm going to put her with some other girls that I think will be like a good community for her. Yes. But I've never been like, oh my God, they would be so good together. It's never been like from that perspective.
Okay. That's how like I feel too. I don't know. It's just like weird. But I think like fostering healthy friendships is really cool. And it makes me feel really happy when it's like I have a really shy, quiet student who I put with like a group of really nice people who kind of like take them under their wing. I'm like, oh my God, I did that. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I know people do zodiac signs too.
Oh, I don't do that. Mainly because to look up their birthdays is too many clicks.
I don't do that.
My old grade book, when I logged in, it would tell me the birthdays that were going to be that week. And I miss that feature so much. There was one time I want to be transparent and admit, I don't want you all to think I'm a perfect teacher. There was one time that I put a boy and a girl together because I thought they would work really well together. And it was kind of the same thing. Like, he's shy and she's outgoing, but she's like super sweet. So I knew that she would be like, he would be willing to talk to her. And then they started sitting together by choice and working together a lot. And I was like, oh my God, did I maybe do something? Like, that wasn't my intention, but I think I might have.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. There's somebody that commented in the chat that I had a girl this year, early elementary, who would have a crush on any boy she sat nearest to. And every 7-year-old boy would immediately love her because this happened every time I did eventually start placing her near boys who would be motivated to do more work because she kept her, quote, boyfriends in check. I have also had that experience where there's kids that there has been girls that boys all have a crush on, but it's interesting because it's always been a girl that's like a very hardworking student and doesn't really pay them any mind.
They want a girl boss. Like, that's the allure of it. The fact that she doesn't give a single shit about them, that's what they are like. That's why they want her approval.
But they're like, they will raise their hand. They try to do like good answers. They try to like complete all their work. It's very interesting. And I'm like, all right, you're motivated to be better.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun.
What a girl boss.
I know.
I have also had, as a high school teacher, significant others come and be like, if my boyfriend's not doing his work, tell me. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yes. And the person whose student was like that, she said once, if you want to be my boyfriend, you will come sit on the carpet crisscross applesauce.
I love her. Let's have her do a presidential debate moderation.
Oh, my God. I can't. I swear, I've all day just been getting like email notifications of headlines, and I'm like, I actually don't think I can handle this right now.
You're like, ooh.
I can't be part of the Discord.
I felt bad for watching it.
Oh, don't.
I was like, I feel like I'm watching two people be tortured, and it feels unfair.
It was just horrific. And everybody's like, what are you going to make? And I'm like, nothing. I'm going to go get a fucking drink because I'm stressed.
I'm going to make a martini. What are you making?
I know. Give me some champs. Okay. Anyways. Okay. I'm back in podcast land.
Oh, I got some other crazy DM ones. I feel really bad for this person, actually. This is like kind of heavy. Last week of school, students found and shared a coworker's old Korn account. Korn with a P.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
That's not right.
You got to get out of there. I'm going to be so real with you. You can't come back from that. I think you need to find a new place of work.
No, I'm so serious because I know that, like, of course, yeah, they put that out there. But they didn't at their workplace. Like, people are so gross about shit like that because you'll be like, that's wrong to do. And then they'll say something like really mean like that. Like, oh, well, they did it. And it's like,
it was a while ago.
They didn't want you to see it, you ding dong. Oh my God, should I just knock my mic out? Hang on.
You sound the same.
Okay, good. Oh my God, did you know that we have this?
What?
Wait. It's not doing it. They have like audio sounds.
Oh.
That's so loud. That's fucking crazy.
Oh, under media?
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, you can upload it.
I'm scared. We should have played our music.
We should upload, like, you know that little like... that they do on reality TV where like someone looks at someone else.
Yeah. We need like a clapping track.
Oh my God.
Oh Okay. Well, sorry, everyone. This is what it's like.
Yeah, it really is. This is like in what's that movie with the guy in the curtain? The Wizard of Oz or something?
The Wizard of Oz.
Like
that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I've gotten a couple crazy DMs. My first and last year of teaching, mood, 25 years ago. So for context, again, everyone remember 25 years ago, another teacher borrowed my computer and deleted my entire grade book. First time I was ever bullied as a teacher. Because 25 years ago, your grade book would have been a file, not like a website. Like mine's online. But 25 years ago, yeah, it would probably literally be like an Excel spreadsheet.
That is awful.
That is evil. Like, oh, genuinely, what's wrong with you?
No, literally, what is wrong with you?
And they said they left teaching because of it. Why are they so effing mean to each other? I've heard of schools with cultures that are that toxic.
Oh my gosh. I don't understand why people act certain ways. Like, it just, as an adult, it does not make any sense to me why people act crazy like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, somebody in the chat was like, why would you do something that dramatic? For real.
Like, that will literally ruin someone's semester and ruin their life temporarily.
And their
like,
job.
You will come back from that, but, like, you are going to be fucked for weeks, probably months.
Yeah, and then if it's, like, towards the end, of, like, where grades are due, like, you're going to fuck up their job. I don't know. People are crazy.
This is a short one. Had a teacher call out of work at 7:50. We clock in at 7:45 because she was too drunk to drive home from the beach.
Oh my God.
You know what? I stan her for not driving drunk.
Yeah, good for her.
Because I know not teachers, but multiple people who have gotten DUIs coming to work.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, which is so weird. Okay. Yes, sorry. The Supreme Court keeps doing things, and I, okay, hang on. My DMs are a mess.
Everyone's trying to talk to you about the Supreme Court.
Yes, it's very...
we should put you on it.
No, I don't want to be anywhere near Clarence Thomas. Oh, I hate him.
I want to be near him because I feel like I could convince him that he was going insane. Like, I could, like, plant things and, like, delete stuff and, like, move furniture around in his office. Like, I think I could drive him to the brink.
You're so right.
Always remember, what can you do for your country?
Amen. Did you see I reposted a video that was like, you don't want to draft me. I'm going to be a traitor.
Oh, I saw that.
And you're going to regret it.
Replace the Supreme Court with this chat.
Yeah, for real.
Two completely separate energies. Sometimes we have the same energy and sometimes we don't. And it always makes for a very interesting podcast podcast matchup.
God. Do we have different energies today? I love that for us.
I think we usually have slightly different energy.
Yeah.
Obsessed with this chaos. Y'all don't realize, I would say on like a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most chaotic this podcast has ever been while recording, this is like a 4.
Yeah, this is not bad.
This is like 4 or 5.
Because I'm not lagging as bad.
I was about to say, there's times where there's like a 2-minute delay and we're just having two completely separate conversations.
It's been crazy. No, this is pretty chill, actually. We just don't do any pre-work and we also use this as an opportunity to hang out.
Yeah.
Okay.
This checks a lot of boxes.
It really does. I found one in the email.
Okay.
So I dipped into the email because I didn't have anything. Okay. Longtime listener and excited for the live Patreon episode. This is a wedding one. I was getting married during the school year and another teacher assumed she was invited to it. I never invited her and honestly barely knew her. We never hung out, just us two, and I was always friendly with who I worked with. When I told her that she was, in fact, not invited, she was so mad that she tried turning other staff members and closer teacher friends against me. She was out in public with a group of staff members and tried getting them to chant with her that I was a bitch. I only invited my teammates and two other staff members that I'm friends with outside of school. Keep in mind, my school is huge and has an insane amount of staff members. This also took place in 2021, so still during COVID. We requested that our guests were vaccinated due to having elderly family members present. I did the same thing, and she was anti-vaccinations, so she wouldn't have been able to go anyway.
She's opinionated and uninvited.
I literally had a spreadsheet at the door that had X's next to everybody having COVID test and vaccination. I was like, you don't let them in unless they have this. Everything else about my wedding was a shit show, but they did listen to that. Except for my husband. Love you, babe.
Anyways, I thought you were going to say love you, bitch.
Love you, bitch. He's always, I would say that to him. He would love it. He gets it.
I was like, real.
Yeah. Luckily, I had good friends that stood up for me, including other people who weren't invited. Oh, you mean like people that act like normal human beings and not wild animals or kindergartners who are not invited to a birthday party? She ended up moving that summer, and I haven't heard from her since. Good. Bye. The chanting, trying to get... I can't. That's... She's a bitch. Like, what? What is that?
People are so weird about weddings. I'm not going to talk about it because it's not... They didn't consent to being talked about, but that's happening in my school right now, is there's weirdness about wedding.
It's truly like the adult version of a birthday party. It really is. I wanted to do a gentle parenting sketch about this, where it's like, she's not invited to my party anymore. Okay, well, you don't have to invite her to your party.
I have another one.
Go ahead.
This one's long.
I'm ready.
Okay, so they said, okay, strap in. So I've had a shit principal for the past 5 years. We're off to an amazing start. He was horrible at his job, only stuck his head in the room when me and my kids were cooking and pulled the my nose brought me to the room. What's cooking? Bullshit. I need to say that again because I stuttered from laughing. My nose brought me to the room. What's cooking? I think they're like an elective teacher, so I guess they do food things sometimes.
I feel like that's something that you would say. That's like one of your like old man on a sitcom one-liners that you'd say with your staff. I bet you steal that. You're going to yoink that out one day next year, and they're going to love it. It's going to kill.
It's so funny because there's been multiple times I've gone past the cooking class, and it literally smells like burned plastic, and I'm like... Everything all right in there? What's going on, guys? Yeah. Sometimes they make really good baked goods. I think I just am not hitting it with the right timing. Okay. So anyway, he never disciplined students but expected us to, yada, 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 you get the point. In February, I decided to leave my position. I should note I'm an elective teacher and what I teach rarely has any openings. And I felt so bittersweet of leaving what became my second home with kids I grew to love. My fucking principal, like 2 weeks after I put in for a transfer, calls for an emergency faculty meeting at 7:50 a.m. as if school didn't start in 10 fucking minutes.
I hate when they do that.
Right. The only time it's okay for an emergency morning staff meeting is if they're like... was like a crime or like a violence, like unless something crazy happened, there's no reason for us to be meeting before school.
No, 100%.
So the meeting was to tell the staff that he would be heading to the central office, aka the good old boys club. Everyone cheered for him and I was pissed because I had already put in for my transfer and he was the reason I wanted to leave. He didn't even know the name of the class and often confused it for my club. She said the name of the class is FCS and the club FCC. LA. Yeah. What is that? What does that stand for? I know we have it at my school, but I can't remember.
Family
what it is.
And consumer science.
Family. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Family, career, and community leader.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was wrong. That's what it was at our school.
Yeah. It has a couple things. I think it's changed a couple times. There's a few different versions, and it's changed a couple times. FCCLA, the club, is Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America.
Okay.
Cool.
Interesting.
And I guess you do both, and he didn't know the difference.
Family Leaders of America?
Family Leaders. Leading for families.
I'm a family leader.
And I think you're right. The other one was Family and Consumer Science is the actual class.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Like, I didn't know that, but I feel like the principal should probably know that.
Right. One would think.
It's generally their job to know about, like, clubs versus curriculum. Like, that's not really my wheelhouse.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, I don't understand this. Oh, I was reading the chat. Somebody was dissecting sharks. It was very sad.
Oh, I would always get out of that. And I would say it was for moral reasons. And I went to a Unitarian Universalist church and they would literally write me a note for anything. It would make my teacher so mad. Oh, my God. One time we have to cut this out. I've been petty since the day I was born. So I was in seventh grade and we were dissecting frogs. And I was like, immediately no, like literally no. Yeah. And my teacher was like so mad that I didn't want to do it. And she was like, you're going to have to get a note from your parent, from your church, from all these things. And I got all of it. I was like, I will out paperwork anyone at 11 years old. Fuck with me. Mm-hmm. Fuck with me. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, we can include it, whatever. Just don't include it because that was her actual name. But just bleep out. And so she had to excuse me from dissecting the frogs. And I, to this day, believe as a punishment, she gave me a 45-page packet about frogs and all the frog parts. And she was like, you have to go to the library and do it by yourself. and that's your alternate assignment. And I went and I found whatever website she found that from and got the teacher answer key on the first day of frog dissecting. So literally, she tried to stick me in the library for the full week of frog dissecting, and I got all the answers on the first day and spent the rest of the week on YouTube, literally like watching Jenna Marbles at school.
I'm so proud of you. You're such an icon at 11.
It's like, fuck you and your fucking frog packet. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyways, was that it?
I have more submissions on my Instagram if you want more.
I don't have anything.
That's, I'm surprised. I was hoping your people would come through with craziness.
I know.
Here, I'll read this. This will be our last Instagram one because it's long too. What? So my first year at my old district, my third year teaching, I was mainly a push-in teacher who did reading intervention. I pushed into three different eighth grade language arts classes, which was a lot. I also had an intervention class I taught as well. Around October, I was doing a Poe lesson, I guess Edgar Allan Poe, mm-hmm. with my intervention students, only to find out my one female co-teacher taught the exact same lesson in her language arts class. I went to my team lead who helped me address it at a PLC. Okay, so for any like non-teachers, let me give you context on this. An intervention class is like an extra push-in class for kids that are struggling. So those kids are also in the language arts class. So a lesson that was designed to be used to help these kids build skills, the other teacher basically stole her lesson. And I know you might be thinking, like, why does it matter? Don't teachers share lessons all the time? It's the same kids. So then she had to come up with something brand new and fresh. So the other person basically was like, oh, that's the lesson you had for your class. I'm going to teach it to them the day before, word for word. So they kind of like stole her lesson, which sucks. So I went to my team lead who helped me address it at our PLC, which she didn't really help. She just mostly threw me under the bus, but that is a separate story. And my male co-teacher jumped in to defend her teaching this lesson. They told me that I could just teach the same lesson again and that she had the right to use any intervention lesson in her language arts class. That's bullshit. I was livid, pissed, and so were other members of my team. Come to find out after this, my married male co-teacher was sleeping with the female co-teacher. It felt like an awkward third wheel until we went home for COVID that spring. It was so noticeable that even some of my students asked about what was going on between them. It made the dynamics of our 8-person PLC contentious at best, and I felt like I was on a reality TV show. It was awful. This isn't even the only cheating situation that happened in the 3 years I was there.
Oh my God. I don't... Why are people
That's
shitty?
Crazy that she stole your lesson and was like, yeah, defend me, my married boyfriend, defend me.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That is so... I want to ask people sometimes what your thought process was. Like, how did you think that was going to go?
How did we get here?
Yeah, tell me everything. Walk me through everything that just happened to make you think that was normal. Oh, my God. I have one on the email.
Ooh, do another email one.
It says... Last year I had, do you want this to be our last one or do you have a really good one that you want to do?
I haven't read all of mine, but nothing's jumping out at me. So the email one can be our last one.
It says, last year I had beef with a PE coach. It was Halloween and I was overstimulated from trying to teach my second grade class who had all dressed up and brought treats and generally drove me mad all day. It's finally time to drop them off at specials, PE, and their coach is late, which I have vented about before. I hate that. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't quite rein in the sugar-crazed 7-year-olds in anticipation of physical activity, so they continued to drive me to my breaking point as we wait for their coach to show up. I think 5 to 7 minutes went by when I finally called my AP. For context, I was new to the school, I did not have the coach's number, and this school has canceled specials before with no communication, so I figured maybe they weren't having them today. But when I asked my AP, she said that we were supposed to have specials as usual, so she would go find the coach. A few more minutes pass, and as you can imagine, I've lost all control of the kids, and I'm reevaluating all my life choices and drafting on my 2 weeks' notice. Finally, the coach shows up and says, sorry, I was just down the hall passing out candy to the kindergartners. I would see red. I would be so mad. I was shocked at how casual he was acting and how it didn't seem to matter to him that it's 10 to 15 minutes into my planning time by now, and he clearly has no arrival procedures for the kids because they were practically climbing the walls. I was so pissed off and on the verge of tears that I couldn't give him a response and just left the gym. The next day, my teaching partner told me that the coach was annoyed that I called the AP when he was just down the hall spending time with the kindergartners and that I should have known he would be there eventually.
Eventually.
My teaching partner was trying to vouch for him. Oh, enemy. And try to get me to apologize. So I said, no, he was unprofessional and I had no other choice but to call the only person I could access and see what was going on. And if he had a problem, he can come talk to me directly. I'll let you guess if he ever spoke to me again the rest of the year. P.S. Don't worry, I quit that school and found a position at a much better school. Good.
I also hate that phase when you're new at a school and you don't know, because I went through that this year and it was more horrible than I remembered. Well, I forgot how horrible it was. And then when I was in it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is fucking horrible. Like the first month of school as a new teacher where you like don't have anyone's phone number. You don't know who to ask for what and you don't know what's going on. Like I had one of my admin's phone numbers and I literally on like the fourth day of school I was like, can you just give me everyone else's phone number and tell me who to go to for what, because I feel like I bother you every 27 seconds.
I know, it's so awkward when you're like, I don't know if I should be talking to you or bothering you or whatever. But
I think it's also on the other people, like our head custodian. I really like him because like during our little pre-service week, he was like, here's my cell phone number. Don't go to administrators when you have a problem. Just come to me. And I was like, that is probably so preventative because if he didn't seek me out, I wouldn't have known where to find him. And if my room had a problem, I would just go to who I know to go to. Mm-hmm. And then it would have made him look bad. So like, that's why he is the biggest man boss of our generation, that he was like, you're not going to make me look bad. Mm-hmm. And he always bangs on my door and then opens it and goes, are you hot? Are you cold? Okay.
He's a dad.
He's very much dad.
Dad vibes. Oh, amazing. Well, anything else?
Chat, anything else we want to share with the people?
Thank you guys for coming. This was so fun.
A lot of people saying similar PE teacher stories. That sounds like a plague on elementary. I love that I can just open my door and be like, get out. Go. Go to where you're supposed to be. Hopefully they're there.
Fingers crossed. Love you. Bye. Oh my gracious.
Can't wait to do this again. Yes. Yeah. Thank you all for coming live. It's hard to get people to a live event because we all have jobs and places and things and people and children and parents and whatever. So thank you for being here. I liked this and we'll probably do this. We were saying maybe like once ish a month, yeah. But we'll do it on different days on different at different times. So for people listening on the podcast right now, join our Patreon so that you can see when we're doing this if you want to join. And if you're like, I can't do 3 p.m. on Friday, it'll be a different time and a different day next time.
Yes. All right, you guys. Love yas.
We love you so much.
Bye, angels. Bye. Talk to each other on Patreon. Use the chat room. We love you. Bye.
Make friends. Play nice.
Make friends.